You'll see questions on your tables. I'm just going to give you guys a few minutes just to introduce yourselves to each other and just chat about that question there amongst yourselves. Do you think God exists? And what would he need to do for you to prove that he is real? What would he need to do for you to prove that he is real? Chat away amongst yourselves, and then I'll interrupt you guys again in a few minutes. Well, sorry to interrupt your conversations there. We'll pick those up again at the end. But we're just thinking about this question here today. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And before we do that, let me just say a quick prayer before we get stuck in. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us right now, Lord, to know who Jesus is. And Father, help us to see who he is through your word. So we ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I remember driving home one night and hearing the song on the radio, What If God Was One of Us? Have you heard it? It's a bit of a classic 90s tune there. And the questions that come through the song are like this. If God had a name, what would it be? If God had a face, what would he look like? Well, say for example you were meeting with a friend or a work colleague over coffee and they asked you one of these questions. Does God exist? What's his name? What does he look like? How do you know who he is? Now, where would you go for answers? What would you suggest to that colleague or friend? Well, there was a man called Luke, and he wrote this letter to his friend Theophilus. And open with me to page 3, your little books in front of you. And we see why Luke wrote this in particular, this letter. Read along with me from verse 3 at the top of page 3. Luke says this, It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. Now, Theophilus is someone who knew about God, but he wanted to understand and trust that what he was taught was reliable and true. And Luke wrote this so that Theophilus could have absolute certainty, and we can have absolute certainty, in knowing who God really is. And like every good politician, we need to ask another question in order to find out the answer of who God is. And the question that we're thinking about today is this. Who is Jesus? Now, in Luke's first chapter, we meet a young woman called Mary, and she is given a startling message from God. The message is this. She will become the mother of the king. But not just any king. He will be the king of all kings. And the message she receives is this, which you can see at the bottom of page 4. If you turn over with me. Look with me. At verse 31, it says this, And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Now Mary was confused at this point because, one, she wasn't married, and two, she was still a virgin. So how will this happen? Will she give birth to a son? Well, God explains to her. He says this, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Now this child, as we sing, will be called Jesus. And as we see here, Jesus wasn't just any other baby. He was significant for one special reason. He was the Son of God. He was promised by God's messenger, Isaiah, 700 years before this happens. And the message is this. Hope would come through a child that would be born. He would bring peace and justice to all who are oppressed and living under darkness. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see, his rule as a king would last forever. It would literally have no end to it at all. And he would be the rescuer of all who trust in him. So we see here briefly who Jesus is, but how does Jesus prove to us who he really is, that he is God's King and he is the Son of God? Well, in Luke chapter 8, we are shown three ways in which Jesus proves he is God's good King who came to defeat the problems of this world. And if you want to follow along with me, you can turn over with me to page 29. And the first thing that we see here is that Jesus is the King who overrules nature. And in Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25, we see here how he reveals his power over nature. Now, just to set the scene here, Jesus is out with his followers at sea. And these followers weren't just anybody. They were experienced fishermen. But before they knew it, a storm had gathered, and they were fighting for their lives. Now, meanwhile, Jesus is sleeping while this is all going on. And in verse 24, they cry out. You can read along with me here. They went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." But look at what Jesus does in response here. Jesus doesn't cower with them. Jesus doesn't try to help them and fight for their lives and bailing water out of the boat. Look at what Jesus says, or does. "And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said to them, 'Where is your faith?' And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, 'Who then is this, that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?'" Don't know if you know the story about King Canute. King Canute was the ruler of England around 1016, and he was highly revered by everyone in the land. Now, he was tired of their flattery because everyone loved King Canute, and he tried to prove to them that he wasn't as powerful as they think he is. Now, he did this by getting his followers to set his throne on the beach. And he was going to tell the tide to stop coming in. Now, you can imagine what happened, can't you? King Canute got wet. But then he says these words, "Let all men know how worthless is the power of kings, for there is none worthy of the name, but he whom heaven, earth, and sea obey by eternal laws." And in the Old Testament, in the Bible, there is a psalm written about the power of God and his authority over the sea. It says this, "They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still. The waves of the sea were hushed." Now, this Jesus that we've seen here, could he be the same Lord and eternal King? It's very likely that he is, but we might need more proof. Not only do we see that Jesus is the King who overrules nature, but Jesus is also the King who overrules evil. And we live in a world full of terror and fear. Now, all you need to do is look at the news to see how true that is. And in Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39, we are given an example of how the master of evil, whom the Bible calls Satan, he seeks to destroy and dehumanize those who are under his control. You can read along with me here at verse 26 at the bottom of page 29. "Then they set sail to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on the land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs." Now, let's be clear here. Many of us don't experience this kind of thing every day, do we? And yet, here is someone who is clearly in need of help. And yet, who could help him? This can't be fixed with some relief or aid. This man has deep spiritual problems that no human efforts can solve. He was living in deep torment as the demons had forced him to live among the dead and to live out in the wilderness where no one would come near him. But when the man saw Jesus, the demons in him cowered in fear. Listen to what they said. "They fell down before him and cried out with a loud voice, 'What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me.' for he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Do you see there that with a word, Jesus commands the demons to come out of the man? Jesus tells them to clear off as he sends them into a herd of pigs that drown. Another sign of the demon's destructive power. And when the people find out about this, Luke tells us what they seen. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. See, they too were afraid, because this Jesus is no ordinary man. He must be something more. Now, we could stop there, but there's something even greater than both nature and evil that Jesus shows he has power over. Something which many of us, if we're being honest with ourselves, will be afraid of. And it's something that all of us will one day confront. Death. Now, nothing quite shakes us more than the thought of death. Especially when death comes to someone whom we are close to. And we can't imagine life without them. The reason for that is because death takes them away from us. And we have to wrestle with the idea that we will never see them in this lifetime again. And nothing is more tragic when we hear the news, especially that someone's child has died. Now, many years ago, my mum was a childminder, and one day we got the news that one of the kids that she looked after was in hospital after a tragic accident. She was only 11 years old. And shortly afterwards, she passed away. Now, it's left a hole in family, in the hearts of family and friends that I know today. However, what we see in this passage is this. Jesus is the King who overrules death. And in the last part of Luke chapter 8, we meet a religious leader called Jairus, whose daughter is also fighting for her life. Read along with me at the bottom of page 30. Now, when Jesus was returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was the ruler of the synagogue. And falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. Now, nothing was more urgent for Jesus than to rush to this little girl's aid. And yet, whilst Jesus is making his way through the crowds, something else happens. He is interrupted by a woman who also needs his help. But Jesus here in this moment shows her compassion and tenderness as he speaks to her. He calls her daughter and tells her that because of her faith, she is healed. Meanwhile, Jairus' daughter isn't getting any better. In fact, the news arrives that Jairus' daughter has died. Jesus is too late. And his distraction has meant that this girl is now gone. Or so Jairus thought. Listen to Jesus' words of assurance to trust him in verse 50. Jesus says this, "Do not fear, only believe, and she will be well." Now, those are very comforting words, but they are only comforting words.